Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I really miss the children's sermons. I miss doing them, I miss listening to them, I miss the sound of them. There were times when it was wild and crazy. And no matter how much time you would put together with the pictures and the stories and the songs, it always came down to one thing. And that's when we would ask those questions. Oh, and what does this mean? And you would hear a resounding answer. Jesus. A resounding answer.
Jesus.
Now, some Sundays that would be very hesitant. Jesus? But some Sundays it would be bold and excited. I'm thinking of Warren and Danielle's little boys who would suddenly be so proud that Jesus was the answer. And it is such a sweet memory. And it's such a sweet memory because that's what happens in this scripture reading today. Now, they weren't children. We will definitely call the apostles adults. But there was a sense of Jesus at the center, of Jesus being the right answer, because Jesus is Lord over all. The Gospel of Luke, Luke himself, was just a great storyteller. And in the Gospel, he gives three times that Jesus appears in his narrative. And because Luke is so good at building a story, these three times build on each other. So the first time is, of course, at the tomb. And it's kind of, the women here see the empty tomb. They have the sense that Jesus is alive and risen. They go back, and nobody believes them. Well, maybe Peter's kind of thinking about it because he's going to run back and take a look. But really, it's that sense that anxiety is still building. And even when Peter comes back and says what he saw, the disciples kind of, maybe Jesus? Maybe. The next story, however, is part of the story, and we're all within that first day of the week. And that next part, the two very despondent disciples, unnamed, who are walking to Emmaus. And they are so depressed. And they're just kind of, oh man, look what happened. This is terrible. And then they realize that there's somebody walking with them. And they say, oh, you're just not going to believe what happened. And look, why don't you come to our house, come have some food with us, and we'll tell you what just happened in Jerusalem. And as the stranger sat in their midst and served bread to them, Jesus, they recognized him. And he said, now go back to Jerusalem. Forget the long walk you've just taken. Go back to Jerusalem. Gather with the rest of the disciples. So we have them just before this passage coming back in. And you know that the rest of the disciples must be wondering, what is going on? Okay, you know, those women, they were hysterical, and oh, Peter, he's always hysterical. And maybe you just dreamt that you met some man walking along the road with you. But then, in the midst of them sitting there and talking and sort of discussing what it was, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Can you hear all the little children yelling, Jesus? Because that's what, oh, not all of them. Because some of them still weren't sure. I mean, come on, we've all seen the very best of sci-fi movies. We know what it's like when people pop in and out from different points in time through history. So he stood there and he said to them, why are you so frightened and why do you still doubt? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for ghosts do not have flesh and bones that you see I have. Flesh and bones. This is a very physical encounter, and he is encouraging it. See my hands, my feet. And then, in the midst of some of that disbelieving, he said, and what's for dinner? And they had broiled fish, which they broke off, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And then, what I love is when he says, these are my words. Now again, I'm a literature teacher. So I love the way that Luke has put that, these are my words, together with this very physical flesh and blood encounter. So that even the physicality is the word of Jesus. And then he says, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets and the Psalms, has been fulfilled. Everything. These are my words. And in that moment, he goes on to summarize a bit of what has happened, and he opens their minds. He opens their minds to understanding. These are my words. He summarizes for them that the good news of repentance will lead to forgiveness of sins. And he even is suggesting that they, the delightful apostles sitting there around him, that they will proclaim this good news to all nations, that they will grow the church. Beginning from Jerusalem. And he says to them, you are the witnesses of these things. Again, the physicality, the use of the senses, this whole experience in some ways mirrors the Last Supper, where there are things that are said, there are proclamations made, there is food that is shared together, and there are witnesses. Along with being witnesses, Jesus is giving the disciples a new job to do. They have been fishermen. They have been tax collectors. They have been other workers along the way during the 3 years. But now he is pulling them together under him, under his purpose, under God's story of redemption. And he is bringing them to do this job in a very human way, although with the promise of God's power. But he's going to be asking them to love justice, to work for one another, to love as Jesus first loved them. Some will do the work with extraordinary opportunities set before them, but so many will make disciples of others in the way that they themselves became disciples, walking with Jesus, eating with Jesus, working alongside of Jesus in a very ordinary human experience. They will scatter throughout the known world to work next to those who need to see what the proclamation of Jesus means for their human life. And yes, for what they need to see. The physicality. These are my words. Jesus came alongside and encouraged his disciples to live now. He encouraged them to get out there and be disciples. To sit with people, to walk with people, to eat their meals with people, to be a physical presence. Notice that there is no mention of what is sacred in all of this ordinary stuff. There's no mention that this is going to be work that's going to take place during just these hours on Sunday morning. At this moment, he is helping his struggling apostles become whole life disciples, so that in all their work, they are witnesses to Jesus, to repentance and forgiveness, to God's grace lived out in human ways to meet the needs of one another. Whole life. No buildings, no paid leaders. They are all missionaries, all witnesses, all living as Jesus taught. Wherever the disciples found themselves, they were using what God gave them for the work of God's kingdom. The church was everywhere. Everywhere they stood, everywhere they walked, everywhere they went. That was the church. Jesus was teaching them to be red dots. Now, I see the recognition in a few eyes. Keith says, I can't believe she went there. Red dots. Had you been with us last fall in Sunday school, you would have found out a little bit more about red dots. And had technology behaved itself, I could have shown you a picture of red dots. So instead, we're going to have to use our creativity, also God-given creativity, to understand this red dot phenomenon. And the first thing you have to do is you have to think of a big screen, and all it has on it are gray dots. Gray dots everywhere, 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 everywhere. And each one of those dots represents a person. Everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. But just like in our story, let's imagine that at one little corner, there are a series of red dots. Oh, those are the disciples. Those are those who actually knew Jesus, who had learned from him. And now they are scattered. Okay? They were gathered there in that little room, and now Jesus is scattering them among all of those gray dots. In fact, it looks like a random poster of gray and red dots. And as all of those red dots, all of those disciples, are working together with all the people, they are showing Christ. They are teaching God. They are making disciples, and those little gray dots start to become red. So what is happening is that the church becomes the gathered and the scattered. We, on Sunday mornings, are the gathered. And why on earth would we have to do that? Oh, we know those Bible stories. We do that to encourage and support one another. We do that to remind ourselves what we are called to do, that Jesus has called us all to be his witnesses, his missionaries in the world. He has called us all to be red dots. And that's what we do on Sunday mornings. We get together and we share that. And one of the exciting things that happened during our Sunday school class is that we also asked everyone in the class to share what had been going on in their lives. Not on Sunday mornings. Not in their boxed church environment. But with the people who they met, people who they worked with, people who they encountered. And there was literal excitement of seeing all the things that God does through us in our everyday lives. Had technology worked just a little bit better, Mark Green, who works with the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, has a whole mission of flourishing in the workplace, of recognizing that in every place we stand, that we are missionaries, we are witnesses to Christ, because everything has come under Christ. Jesus is the center of it all. And part of that sense is also how in Western culture we've pushed back at that.
I was a teacher. When I go into the classroom,
Jesus doesn't have any.
Oh, as I heard from some students, Jesus has no business in the public schools.
I didn't believe that, but there are people who do. Or last night, my husband was called out on a plumbing emergency. Oh, Jesus, plumber, give me a break. Definitely Rex walked with Jesus. Definitely, why wouldn't he? Jesus is everywhere. Jesus isn't just with Rex this morning because I tell him that Jesus is here. Jesus was with Rex last night when he was helping our tenants upstairs with a plumbing issue. And that had nothing to do with proclaiming the word. Or does it? These are my words. See my hands and my feet. All that is written. Yes. Yes, it has everything to do. And as we are more aware of that, that allows us to be more intentional. More intentional with one another, and more intentional with the people we come into contact with, because we want to turn their gray dots into red. I have always been a great fan of St. Francis. First of all, because of all the wonderful things that he has done in terms of ecology. Who knew? Back in the day, he was all about nature. Pay attention. Even those birds will sing to you. And one of his favorite lines is, "Preach always. And if you have to, use words." That's being a red dot. That's living a life that does not divide the secular and the sacred,
but instead recognizes that this is all sacred. We are all sacred. And we are all missionaries for God's work. In one of the commentaries I read on this passage, they said that one of the really interesting things about it was the fact that it was kind of startling to think that Jesus was just there, listening to them argue about whether or not Jesus was still alive. That he appears, meaning he's been there, he's heard, he's seen, he listens, he's everywhere. Right here. Right out there. Right back there. And that is one of those concepts that we just can't quite get our heads around. I guess it was Paul, in the letter to the Colossians, says it in beautiful language, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. All things have come together. And the right answer is
Jesus.
So with our whole lives, we become disciples. And that means everything. Everything that we do, everything that we say, everywhere that we go. And what's really amazing, because I read a whole lot, surprise, is that in Great Britain, at the moment, this whole sense of Christianity is coming back, is having its own resurgence and transition, so that many of the secular humanist philosophers have found out that without religion, without Jesus, they are spiritually bankrupt. And some who had written wonderful books about secular intellectuals are now making their way back into the churches of London. Many of them recognizing that secular humanism has failed, and against all their expectations, they find themselves on the verge of embracing faith instead. And so, we are red dots, red dots, gathered, and tomorrow we are called to scatter. to keep faith in the value and worth of our daily lives, to walk with Jesus, to acknowledge and affirm that Jesus is always with us, because these are the words he spoke when he was with them, and he is still speaking to us today. Amen.